your name?
John Hanrahan.
John Hanrahan, for some time now, you've been following closely your council member, Ward 2 council member, Jack Evans. And we've talked in the past about him and some of his dealings as chair of the Finance and Revenue Committee. And, well, he's got a second salary on a law lobbying firm, Patton Boggs. And before we get into some of the FOIA requests and some of the work you've been doing, let me take a step back and describe exactly who Councilmember Jack Evans is.
Well, as you mentioned, he's chairman of the Finance and Revenue Committee and arguably the most powerful council member, making him the second most powerful elected politician in the city after the mayor. And he has been on the council for now 19 years or thereabouts. And for much of that time, in the last several years anyway, he has been of counsel to the law firm of Patton Boggs, one of the major lobbying firms in the country that represents some very powerful interests, some of whom have had business before the council. So it's been a concern that that some of the matters that may come before Council Member Evans in his role as chairman may pose potential conflict of interest problems. Although a Democrat, he is easily one of the most conservative members of the city council, is a great supporter of big boondoggle projects that benefit big special interests, while at the same time positioning himself as the voice of fiscal responsibility in the city. He's a good one for talking after the fact about how we've got to cut various social programs, but he's not one that there isn't a tax break for the wealthy that he hasn't supported. And I think, as you've reported recently, he's dead set opposed to any revisions of the very regressive D.C. Income tax code, which taxes people earning under $40,000 the same as people who are earning $200,000 or $500,000 or $1 million. But all of that, you know, I don't mean I could live with it. I mean, I could say, okay, that's the way he is. But one thing I am concerned about is his potential conflicts of interest. And we've focused on one particular one here over the last several months, or the last year, actually, regarding the Convention Center Hotel, which the city has put up a $272 million financing package to bring this Convention Center Hotel, which is going to be a Marriott International Hotel. So that's the issue that I've been working on most recently.
John Hanrahan, you are a former Washington Post reporter and done a lot of reporting and journalism, including reporting on conflicts of interest in Montgomery County.
State of
Maryland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
No, that's correct. Yeah.
Let's delve into this particular deal. There are actually a number of deals we could look at with regards to Mr. Evans, but let's focus on this Convention Center Hotel,
right,
which we built alongside the Convention Center. Mm-hmm. More than 1,100 rooms, the D.C. District of Columbia taxpayers are putting up some $272 million in subsidies, and it will be owned and operated by Marriott. Let's look at that a little bit. Marriott being, as the Examiner has pointed out, at least at one point, a client of Patton Boggs, Patton Boggs being the law and lobbying firm which Mr. Evans works for, earning $240,000 a year on top of his council salary of $125,000 a year. So take it from there, John Hanrahan.
Yeah, this saga goes back really to June and July of 2009, when the Convention Center Hotel financing package was coming up for action by the council. And bear in mind, this is a project that was near and dear to Jack Evans's heart. He brought this thing along. If you're a business person, you'd say he did a masterful job of bringing it along, getting it right up to the moment of passage by the council, and with this big subsidy for the for Marriott. So in late June and on into July, suddenly it's almost out of the blue, on five separate occasions, I believe it was twice in the Committee of the Whole and three times in subsequent council votes, he suddenly recused himself and did not offer any explanation. As you mentioned, the Examiner newspaper on July 1st, 2009, said that the reason he recused himself was because his law firm that Patton Boggs represented Marriott, that Marriott was one of their clients. And subsequently, and you can mention about some previous testimony, but subsequently leaders of the Committee of 100 and the Federation of Citizens Associations wrote Mr. Evans and Chairman Gray a letter saying, what was this all about, this recusal? What, you know, please explain what this is. When did this apparent or potential conflict kick in? Was he had it for a long time? They asked him a whole bunch of questions. The upshot of it was that there was never any response from either Mr. Evans or Chairman Gray. So this recusal was in place and without any explanation for it. Then months and months went by, and suddenly there was a problem for the Convention Center Hotel. A lawsuit filed by another company involving Marriott, without getting into the complications of that lawsuit, was going to hold up any further progress on the Convention Center Hotel. At this point, according to both the Washington Post and the Washington Business Journal, Jack Evans worked behind the scenes to put the deal back on track, to get the warring parties to settle their lawsuit. This is just ridiculous and outrageous that someone who has recused himself on a matter — recuse means you don't involve yourself in it at all under at any level — he's back in the middle of it again. He's steering it the deal into fruition, and sure enough, he was successful. He and the Attorney General, I believe, Nichols held closed door meetings and got the parties back on track, and the Convention Center Hotel goes ahead. And I became interested in this, a year or so ago. But then the more I thought about it, there's my council member involved in this, and the press doesn't seem to much care. They're not reporting on it. So I wrote some little pieces about it, hoping the press would pick them up for the mail of DC Watch, and nobody did. I subsequently, though, began looking a little farther and discovered that the conflict of interest law says when a council member recuses himself or herself, they are supposed to then follow up with a written statement both to the council chair, to the Office of Campaign Finance, and to the
Board of Elections,
and Ethics. I always want to blow their name. Explaining the reasons for the recusal. He never filed such a statement, I was sure. I then, in late summer, early autumn, filed FOIA requests with the chairman's office, with the OCF and the Board of Elections and Ethics, and all three of them told me what I already really knew, that he had not filed such statements. As part of my FOIA, I said, if he has not filed such a statement, please take the action that you have as the regulatory officials and require him to file this, just as if somebody didn't file a campaign finance report and the Office of Campaign Finance became aware of this, they would call that person up and say, hey, you haven't filed a report. But none of them responded to me. There was a, from the general counsel at the Office of Campaign Finance, there was a note to the effect, bear in mind that the law hasn't changed on this and that it's, that the onus is on the council member to take whatever action is necessary. I wrote her back saying, look, the council member already, in fact, declared that he has a potential or actual conflict of interest, but he hasn't complied with the law, which comes under your purview. What are you going to do about it? I sent a subsequent letter, a follow-up letter to Chairman Gray and to the Board of Elections also. And I copied them on all of my correspondence. If I wrote to Gray, I copied the other two. If I wrote to the Office of Campaign Finance, I copied the other two. To make a long story short, or maybe not, none of them responded to that. And I did call Chairman Gray's attention to the fact that during the campaign, he had talked about that the mayor's office under Adrian Fenty was a closed shop and it was hard to get information out of there, and they operated in secret and behind closed doors, all of which I agree with. I think that was all true. I was calling this to his attention and saying, hey, but on a matter of conflict of interest, before the body that you chair, what are you going to do about this and enforcing what is the actual law under the code and municipal regulations and under the even the rules of the council? No response. So finally, on November 28th, I decided to take a chance and write Chairman-elect Kwame Brown, filling him in on all of these past details, and say, now you're coming on as chairman. What will you do about these issues, since you still have a member and a committee chair who is not complying with the law regarding conflict of interest? So that's sort of where it stands right now. I have not heard back from Kwame Brown. If he were to respond saying, I'm not chairman yet, wait till after the first of the year and I'll give you some definitive answer, or even thank you for your letter, no response at all. I know he's been very busy. I know other people are too, but I fear that this is just could be a continuation of this. Let's not respond to this and maybe it will go away. And the other thing that's been most frustrating too is the failure of the press to even view this as an issue. And I was recently talking to somebody who had been a reporter and I believe still does some blogging for someone, but I was railing on about the press having this relationship with Jack Evans where they seem to view him as some sort of budgetary genius. And he stopped me and he said, no, it's not budgetary genius. And we had this little back and forth, and I said, but he's the guy that always gets quoted. He's the one they go to. They never ask him any hard questions. He said, you don't understand. He's just great with the quotes. I said, so it all boils down to, in this guy's opinion, that it's because he gives you good quotes and he's accessible. Let's not ask him any of the tough questions. But they don't and they won't.
He's not great with the quotes with me. He's not very accessible. I have most recently attempted to ask him a question at the groundbreaking of the Convention Center Hotel. Now, this was a gaudy affair, not public, even though it's using $272 million in public subsidies. And after the groundbreaking where Evans spoke and everyone praised one another, including Evans was praised numerous times, and Marriott was there, which would be the owners. I went up to Mr. Evans and I asked him, can you describe what's taking place here? And then I said, why did you recuse yourself? And Mr. Evans turned and walked away. Mr. Evans, Pete Tucker, can you answer a couple questions?
I'm sorry?
Can you answer?
Who are you for?
WPFW?
Oh, sure.
First of all, can you describe today?
What?
Can you describe what's taking place today?
Oh, yes. It's the groundbreaking for the Convention Center Hotel.
And then Wednesday, June 24th, you recused yourself from voting on this.
Anyway, that's what it was all about. Thanks.
But can you just say why you recused yourself? Mr. Evans? And if we back up before the opportunity to ask him this question and to have him walk away, I've testified on a number of occasions before him to ask if Marriott is a client of Patton Boggs's. Three times, I believe. And each time he refuses to answer the question and will just go silent. So he offers those quotes, those choice quotes, to some reporters. But on this issue, he's been silent.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. He, of course, got into difficulty, when was it, 5 years ago, over his political action committee, Jack Pack, for making illegal expenditures, and worked out a settlement on that. And in that instance, the Washington Post reporter, who's no longer there, did a really first-rate job and was I'm not sure if he got him right away, but was able to get him to, on the record, to address that. Of course, he denied doing anything wrong in the whole thing, but which shows me that if a reporter from a big institution like the Washington Post goes to him with a troubling question like that, he'll get some sort of an answer, or get, you know, or it may not be the right answer, but he'll get an answer. Independent media, I think he probably thinks he can just give him the back of his hand. But if you were there saying, Mr. Evans, on the budget, tell me what is it that we have to do, and he'd probably give you, if you were just asking him those softball questions, and I don't mean that those aren't newsworthy questions to ask, but if those were the kind of questions you were asking, I'm sure he would, although probably by now he wouldn't answer any of your questions.
I started out with a softball question, so he answered that one, and then immediately, and he started walking when I asked the follow-up one. I wanted to, you asked a really interesting question, John Hanrahan, in a piece in the Mail. Quote, and it's a piece is entitled, Evans Didn't File Required Conflict Statement. Quote, if a conflict of interest falls in the D.C. government forest and no one hears it, is it still a conflict of interest? Mm-hmm. In other words, what good are the District of Columbia's conflict of interest laws if no one will enforce them? Mm-hmm. And this isn't just a matter of the past, although, I mean, this hotel has not been built. Mr. Evans may be renamed by D.C. Council Chairman-elect Kwame mm-hmm. Brown, currently an at-large councilmember, about to become chairman, and he will be appointing who heads up which committee.
Yes.
For some 10 years, I think it is, Mr. Evans has headed up I actually don't know exactly how, Finance and Revenue Committee, but it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's up to Kwame Brown to determine all the committees, including that one. And you have some very pointed questions, which we've touched on here, for Mr. Brown about, and this should come to question, Mr. Evans' fitness to return as chair of the committee on this all-important committee, the Finance and Revenue Committee.
Yeah, no, I did ask Mr. Brown, calling his attention to the fact that he will be appointing chair, and that this is an extremely important committee, probably the most important in the city, and there's somebody who, I mean, to me, there can be nothing more important to give citizens confidence in their government is to know that the laws that are in place apply to everyone, including members of the council. And this is a law that specifically applies to members of the council and to other elected and appointed officials of the D.C. government. What sort of confidence can I have when a chairman of the council doesn't push its members to be above board on conflicts of interest? What confidence can I have as a citizen in a chairman of a committee who every time some deal comes up, I end up wondering, well, whose interest does this serve? Does this serve his law firm, Patton Boggs? You don't, it's just sort of I don't know, thumbing your nose at the law, that he's in a position where if the Office of Campaign Finance is correct in saying that, the onus is on the council member, then we've got to rely on that council member to obey the law. And even when it's called to his attention, he's not doing it. And I think it does reflect on a person's ability or fitness to hold a particular office. And certainly as a chairman of a committee that handles all the major financial deals that the city is involved in, where people will wonder about everyone that goes through, who's this latest tax break for, whose client is that? I mean, there's always going to be horse trading and that sort of thing in the political arena, but when it involves one person's potential conflicts, it just shouldn't be.
John Hanrahan, you write in a letter, in an email to Chairman-elect Kwame Brown, "I trust that you, unlike Chairman Gray, who is the presumptive mayor-elect, oh no, he's the mayor-to-be, I trust that you, unlike Chairman Gray, will do me the courtesy of responding to my questions regarding this matter, and that in your response you will state that you, using your authority as chairman, intend to get Mr. Evans to comply with D.C. law and council rules, to say nothing of the D.C. Bar Ethics Code. This is no small matter. The citizens of the District of Columbia have a right to know under the law and in the interests of good government exactly what Mr. Evans' conflict involves. I look forward to hearing from you. Best regards, John Hanrahan, Ward 2. Your comments on that and any final thoughts you want to share?
Well, I feel very strongly about that, and I certainly look forward to hearing from Chairman Brown, or Chairman-to-be Brown. It's, as I said before, this is the law. The council member, it's a law specifically aimed. This isn't a law that I or you have to comply with, because it's not directed at us. It's directed at members of the D.C. government, both elected and appointed. And further, when there is a conflict of interest, the chairman also has additional duties, which I haven't dealt with in here, and you might even be more familiar with, where he's supposed to also make sure that the chairman adheres strictly to the terms of the recusal, the reasons for his recusal, and that certainly wasn't done in the past instance under Chairman Gray, and I hope that Kwame Brown will deal with that forthrightly when he becomes chair, and I'll keep you apprised certainly. But that's about my last word without getting too redundant.
Thanks so much, John Hanrahan. I look forward to continuing to follow this story.
Thank you very much.